You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. Want to get off college basketball for a little bit and go over to a very important subject in the NFL. It was a fantastic Super Bowl. Okay, it was very fun to watch. But now it's time to move forward and think about what's next in the NFL. Okay, and we're talking collective bargaining agreement. Now, the collective bargaining agreement is something that I think fans in general don't understand a lot about. And I don't mean that in an offensive way. Until I started researching it about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I didn't know what was going on in the collective bargaining agreement. Okay, there's a lot of law stuff that goes into it. There's a lot of things that the media thinks you should know that maybe aren't the most important parts of it. Okay, and so I thought Scott and I would sit down a little bit today and explain the important parts of the collective bargaining agreement, because it's important in order for you to make an informed decision on which side of the fence you're on what you think should happen as far as a possible strike and all that stuff. You need to know what the details are, what the things they're arguing are about. And so I thought we would break that down a little bit, give you a little bit of a guide into the collective bargaining agreement. Now, there's three issues in general that this collective bargaining agreement is, okay? There's two smaller issues and one big issue. Okay, the first two smaller issues, the first one in which everybody seems to be talking about, is this 18-game schedule. Okay, and the bottom line is the owners want an 18-game schedule. The players are okay with an 18-game schedule. They want 16. But if they get more money and more benefits after football is over, they're okay and willing to negotiate with an 18-game schedule. Okay, and I can understand this because from a benefits factor, if you play more games per season, that means you have less years on your career just by mathematical, you know, just by looking at it. So if you play more games, you play less years, you should have more benefits afterwards because your body is going to break down. So that's the first issue. The second issue is this rookie pay scale, and it's been talked about a lot. You know, rookies get paid way too much money. We need to, you know, dumb it down a little bit, give them a little bit less money. And what the owners have offered, the current thing that's offered on the table, is a five-year scale for first-round picks. Okay, no individual negotiations, which means you'd have no more, Carson Palmer talking to the Cincinnati Bengals before he gets drafted type of things. Okay, it's just, this is how much the first pick gets. This is how much the second pick gets. And it's a five-year scale where you make more as you go farther into the league. Now, as far as all other draft picks, they would go on a four-year scale. And like I said, it all just works backwards. It's this pick gets this much money. This pick gets this much money. Now, the players, although they're probably in favor of this, are not in favor of the scale in general because it hurts veterans. It hurts five-year veterans that maybe should be deserving more money, and they might not be getting that much money, okay? If you're picked in the second round, if you're picked in the late first round, you could be a very quality player that's not getting a lot of money, and you've got to wait until year five of a, 18-game schedule to start getting paid. At that point, you might hit free agency and not deserve nearly as much money or get as much money as you should be getting. So those are the two smaller issues. But the biggest issue, and the one I want to focus the most on today, is this revenue sharing agreement. Okay, that's what canceled the meeting on Thursday. That's what's creating the biggest problems and keeping the two sides away from the table. And there's two terms you need to know when trying to decide what you feel about the revenue sharing. Okay, you've got total revenue and all revenue. Now, all revenue means everything that the NFL brings in each year. Total revenue is the amount of money they bring in after expenditures. Okay, so for example, currently the NFL's estimated all revenue is $9 billion. However, the owners get a $1 billion credit from that $9 billion to work on stadiums and things of that nature and upkeep and keep the league going. Okay, so the total revenue is $8 billion. Now, this is where it gets tricky, and stick with me. So all revenue is $9 billion. That's how much the entire NFL gets. $8 billion is total revenue because of the $1 billion credit that the owners get. Okay? Now, under the current CBA, as far as all revenue goes, that $9 billion, players get about 51% of it, and the owners get 49% of it. Now, because of that $1 billion credit, it works out to, after that $1 billion, the players' union gets about 60% of the $8 billion left over, while the owners get $40 billion in total revenue. Okay? Now, here's where it's getting tricky. The owners are asking now for an additional $1 billion in credit. So now we're talking $2 billion for upkeep and other things. So now you would be splitting $7 billion of total revenue instead of $8 billion in total revenue. And Scott, if I'm getting any of this wrong, jump in and correct me, okay?
I'm doing the numbers as we speak.
Okay. Now, under the new CBA, the players have put on the table that they are willing, because remember, beforehand, they were getting 51% of all revenue, and the owners were getting 49%. The players are willing to drop to a flat fee of that $9 billion of 50-50. So you get 50-50 of all revenue. Okay? So the players will be dropping down 1%. Now, the problem is, if you do the math, after that $2 billion credit, the owners are going to be getting a bunch less money than they would have if they got that $2 billion credit and the players got a different percentage. Okay? Now, here's where it gets interesting. The players are willing to go to this 50% split if... No, wait. I'm sorry. I'm explaining it wrong. The players want to see every franchise's financial report. Sorry, let me back up. The players want to see every franchise's financial report of the last year. The reason being, they want to make sure that if the owners are getting this $2 billion credit and there's going to be $7 billion left, that they're not getting screwed because the owners are making money and then getting more money in credit, okay? The players are fine with dealing with this credit if it turns out the owners are losing money. The problem is they're calling the owners bluff and saying that the owners are not losing money, that the owners are making money overall, which means that $2 billion credit isn't really necessary for the owners, okay? Now, they are willing to go to that 50-50 split in exchange for not looking at the franchise financial reports. Am I getting this right so far, Scott?
Yeah. So
are we on the ball?
So pretty much what I'm looking at right now, so out of the total $9 billion, mm-hmm. you take it in, so take the billion off the top.
Yes.
That's what the owners get. Then you have a 60-40 split in the players'
on that
$8
billion.
So right now the players' union gets 4.8 of the total.
Mm-hmm.
So then if we go next year, if they're doing just the 50-50 split, they'd get 4.5.
Yes.
So they're already down 0.3 billion.
Yes.
Still a lot of money there. If they go to taking the 2 billion off the top, 60-40 split still, they're down to 4.2. So right now they're at 4.8, in where the owners want it to be is the players getting 4.2. They basically want to flip it.
Yes.
And where the players are willing to go is 4.5.
Now here's the situation, okay? Now, the players want to see these franchises' financial books because they want to make sure if they're taking this cut, there is a reason they are taking this cut. But I can also see the owner's side of it where they don't want to show those financial books because if they show them, they could be revealing details that gives the players a whole bunch of negotiating tools to work with. They could lose their stand in this entire negotiation. So you don't want to give that away. Now, here's what we do know. Okay, there is one franchise, because they're a public franchise, that we know their financial situation, and that's the Green Bay Packers. And according to Forbes magazine, okay, the Green Bay Packers made an additional $10 million in revenue last year between the team and the league income. Okay, however, their player salaries last year grew by $14 million. Now, it's important to note that the Green Bay Packers are still above profit at this point. But for 1 year, they spent $4 million more than they brought in. And that is a pattern that if you continue that, eventually you're going to start losing money. So we don't know if that's how the rest of the teams are handling this situation. We don't know what the other financial books are. But if the Green Bay Packers are reflective of the rest of the league, it makes a lot of sense that the owners want to get that extra credit and cut down the money even more because they need that money. Let's face it. The players, yes, they put in the hard work. They put in the time. But the bottom line is without the owners, they don't get a paycheck. They don't have a league. Okay? If you want to compare this to other leagues, okay, and I'm not going to talk, okay, don't change the channel because I'm not going to talk soccer X's and O's. I'm going to compare the NFL to the English Premier League, which is probably the second most successful as far as population goes compared to the NFL.
And it's by far above any other league as having the most money.
Yes. But here's the deal. Okay, the English Premier League, let me explain this to you. Okay, how European leagues work is you don't trade players. You do what's called a transfer. And in a transfer, okay, think of it this way. Think of it as when the Boston Red Sox got Daisuke Matsuzaka. Okay, they paid $60 million for the right to negotiate with Matsuzaka to get him to play for them. That's basically what you do in the English Premier League and the rest of European soccer. You pay a team for the rights to their player, okay? And they pay some ridiculous wages, okay? If you want to talk the latest transfer window, a couple of guys went $80 million for one player, okay? $80 million to get one player. Now, here's the deal. After you pay that $80 million, you also end up having to pay taxes on that $80 million for that transfer fee. So a lot of these teams end up losing millions and millions and millions of dollars per year just to get players. Because we're talking a bunch of oil tycoon people that own these teams and don't make profits ever. And what ends up happening is the smaller teams in these leagues, okay, a team the equivalent of the Detroit Lions, who tries to spend to stay in the league, okay, ends up going into administration because they spend outside their means, they don't bring in enough money, and they go into bankruptcy. The NFL is smart because they avoid these type of situations. And if they want to avoid these type of situations in the future, they've got to make sure that they are bringing in more money than they are spending. Okay? So I see where the players are coming from wanting to see the financial books, but I also see where the owners are coming from. Now, the bottom line is, I think, Scott, and you can share your opinion either way on this, and we're going to come back to this right after we hit a break, but I think that the owners are making a lot of money, because if they weren't making money, they'd probably have no problems sharing their financial books with the players and saying, see, look how much money we're losing. You want to go into administration? I didn't think so. Give us the $2 billion in credit. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about collective bargaining agreement next. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.